B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Out at center ice, Pastrnak kicks it ahead for the second consecutive year, and for the third time in 7 years, the Boston Bruins are going to eliminate the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 7 behind a magnificent performance by Tuukka Rask, and the Boston Bruins will host a second-round series against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Bruins won last night, in case you didn't hear that already.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah. Start to finish. Start to finish. That's a good night.
Did you have the Jiffy Pop?
Didn't do the Jiffy Pop.
I didn't either. Didn't feel it was necessary.
You know what? He was up late, and he had a sandwich, and
I feel like
brushed his teeth.
The Jiffy Pop is only going to be needed if it's like an emergency.
Yeah. It's kind of like bait. I put it on a hook. Like, you know, that's like a prize. He still doesn't know what it is. You know, I'm like trying to explain it. Well, it puffs up because we got to do it.
You can't do it now.
What do you mean you can't do it now?
Superstitious.
What do you mean superstitious?
Right.
They won game seven with Jiffy Pop in the house without popping it.
He's
it's got to stay unpopped.
Right, but if they're down like 4-1 in a game seven, then you break out the Jiffy Pop and you start heating that thing up.
Break it out.
That's what you start doing.
You're down by three and there's like a five-minute major or something.
Yeah, something along something along those lines. Yes, something like that.
Yeah.
Bruins win last night. And how about the fourth line? How about the depth scoring on the Bruins, because it was not about the first line last night.
No.
It was about the depth guys on this team.
The fourth line, you know, you could talk about the Swedes, the Scandinavians, whatever the hell you want to call them, the Swedish chef line. Tuukka Rask, Ty Anderson, get your article out from last week. Your goalie played his ass off last night. And when you look slow and sluggish at the start of the game and wasn't the greatest first period for them, that guy saved your ass at the beginning of that game. You're thinking, uh-oh, looks a little relentless here from the Toronto end of it. And, man, once you get up 2-0, you felt really good. Felt like you could breathe, you could relax a little bit, and then they pop one, and you're like, oh, here we go.
I thought early on the Bruins were thoroughly outplayed in that first period and came away with a 2-0 lead somehow, and I thought, wow.
Head-scratcher.
What a gift.
Yeah, you're sitting there like, did that just first period
what
happen?
What a gift for them to come out of that first period up 2-0, because
Tuukka played his ass off. He's phenomenal.
Because they did not carry the play in that first period. They did not. I'm sorry.
And even when they packed it in and they got in front of him, I'm like, I don't know how the hell he's seeing these pucks. Because there's people all over in front of him. And I know Bergeron talked about it. We did a good job getting back to help him in the defensive end. But you had 4-3 guys stacked in front of him at a time. Plus, you throw a couple Leafs in there. And, you know, Tavares crashing the net. He had it going.
I was thinking that after that first period, that Toronto had to have felt so deflated coming out of that period, knowing that they had played. They'd played pretty well in the period and didn't come away with goals, and they ended up being down two. And the way they responded after giving up the first goal, again, didn't result in any scoring, but they did have a response. I thought they had a response in the second period as well, and their only goal in that period was the one they got, which was off the turnover. Rask played great in that second period.
Yep.
There's 13 shots in that period, and he stopped 12 of them, and the one that he gave up was the one on the turnover. So I thought the second period was where they sort of won the game. Even though
they
scored early.
No, I know what you're saying. They survived that period. It's like they didn't let them back in the game. You know, whatever inch they gave them, you know, it's just they held on at the end, and then you pulled away in the third, played their ass off in the third. I thought they hustled more in the third. You talk about digging deeper, and you heard it all week, and you know, I know Jack had the inning call and surviving injuries, decimated. I think, how hurt were they, really? I mean, are they dealing with things we don't know, like Bergeron, like Krejci?
And then I think after, you know, that second period, Corrali's goal, again, depth guys, fourth line, Corrali coming back in this series was huge.
Goal?
He extends the lead, and they sort of built off what they had done in that second period, which was survive it in advance, and they did, and then they scored a goal to extend the lead, and that's where it was, you know, it was closed out at that point.
An unreal effort, weaving through two defenders, another one cuts you get in front, and then you have that type of shot, and it's just a snipe shot. Anderson had no chance. No chance on that one. And I thought he crapped his pants again in game seven. So it's fun watching Leaf Square dump out to it.
See, I think he did have a chance on that goal. I think
he was
that's
so like spread out. And
I think that's one he would want back. It's like, right. Yeah, he got through a couple of defenders, but the fact is, I mean, he wasn't really screened because he had the puck out wide enough away from his body to where he should have seen that one. Easy for us to say, as always. But if you were to ask Anderson today, I think that's one he probably would want back. Some of the other goals.
Yeah, glove side, right?
Some of the other goals last side. Night. I think yeah. So. Yeah, yeah.
He was like, he was
the
so
one that the
on
one
it.
That snuck in between his
oh.
his glove in the left post. Yeah. I mean,
squeeze the post.
I don't know how that goes in. That's just one of those where, and he said he wasn't even really trying to. He was looking to pass on that, but he's like, I'll take the shot. See if rebound pops out and somebody can scoop it up.
And you're seeing the snapshots of it here on NBC Sports Boston. If you follow us on the simulcast. I don't know how it got in. I mean, he put it in the only spot, and the puck was perfectly perpendicular to the ice to where it could get through. Because if that puck's sideways, it hits the post.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Anderson's now 0-4 in game sevens in his career.
Poopy pants. He had a 4-5-1
look at
goals
that.
Against going in. That's what I'm saying. Look at this.
Where does that puck get in?
I don't know.
It was between the glove and the left leg pad.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The problem was the skate was against the bottom of the post to where it bent the knee in a little bit. I mean, the knee wasn't all the way locked out. That's the only way that thing got in.
Is he bow-legged?
Most goalies are bow-legged. People that ride horses are bow-legged. Most cowboys. Oh, they got sheriff down in Florida. He's probably bow-legged.
Is that true? You know,
down there in Jupiter?
Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Don't even look at him.
Shut up.
We said nothing.
I can't believe we're back at it again tomorrow night.
I said nothing. Yeah.
Draft night tomorrow night. Prunes game one. Home tomorrow night. Saturday home game. It's like right back into another series.
Quick turnaround.
Ramp
this.
It up.
Quick yeah. turnaround.
Yeah, you don't
keep the Celtics busy. They can go to the game tomorrow night.
That's right, Celtics.
Story last night, though.
They should be rested by Sunday.
To me, is in a big way, Tuukka Rask.
Oh, that's the story.
Tuukka Rask had himself a game.
Yep. How about that year he had, too? You know, the way things started for him. Things weren't great on the ice, the off-the-ice issue, him getting away from it, coming back, and sort of pulling it all together at the end of the year. And he saved your ass last night. That's one of his finest performances, I think,
yep.
Watching this guy over his tenure here.
He had one save sliding over to the stick side that I thought he was going to be out of position if the puck made it back around the net, but it was...
Left leg.
It was it was a good defensive effort to kind of corral those pucks when he did get himself out of position on a couple of saves. But the important thing is, A, he made the saves, and B, defensively, he had some good play in front of him and behind him last night. Even Chara, who people have gotten on a couple of times, especially throughout this series, there was one play last night where it looks like he was about to get spun and he was about to get, out of position, and he saved himself and he saved the play with a poke check. Now, they still ended up retaining the puck down in the Bruins zone and skating it back. And they may have gotten a shot after it, but it was breakaway potential where it looked like Chara was going to get do-si-do'd and he was going to be standing there and we're going to say, oh, that's what we're talking about. But just, using that ginormous 7-foot long stick that he's got, he just poked that puck free and it was enough just to break things up a little bit. I thought it was a good effort all around, but you're right, Beetle. If you want to tell a story from this game, all right, well, five different goal scorers and Tuukka Rask. That's it.
That's what I take away. And the fact that they got scoring from the guys that are down the roster a little bit.
Yeah, you're sitting there.
Because so much of the other part of it is, by the way, that we were talking yesterday about the need to get to get power plays because the power play had been key to the Bruins winning games in this series. They didn't get a single one last night. They didn't go on the power play even once.
No, and there were a couple times, too, where it was even man, and it felt like a power play, like Toronto's on a power play, like you're in the back end and you couldn't clear it. I'm thinking, Jesus, this is the one where it's going to fall apart. And they hung on. Give them credit. And they even, that top line, I know it didn't register, really. I know Bergeron got the late one, but you're waiting for him and Pasta to get it going. But
right.
You're fourth line again, man.
Yeah, it was five different goal scorers not named Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, Bergeron, did anybody really check the clock on that one? It all it affected was the total.
Point eight. Give it to him.
At 1959. Yes, he scored the goal.
They didn't play the final point eight.
Okay.
Didn't need to. Why would you? Game was over.
Would you pull the goalie then?
Game was over. 617-779-0985.
Pulling the goalie, 2 minutes left. How about with three last night? Midway through the third, let's pull Anderson.
We've got plenty of things to get to on this game last night. The win for the Bruins. They're moving on to take on Columbus. That series will get going tomorrow night. Quick turnaround, which according to Bruce Cassidy, the team likes. They're playing well right now. They want to keep it going. So they will not practice today. They will have a pregame skate tomorrow, and that is it. And then they are on to the second round against Columbus. So there's two ways of looking at that. You either like to have the rest and get healthy and get your legs, or you like to keep going to carry the momentum. The Bruins are saying right now that they like the situation that they're in. Columbus, of course, would tell you they like the situation that they are in.
And you survived. You survived this series, and now you have home ice throughout.
You have home ice all the way through.
The road to the cup goes through Boston. You have home ice, man.
The door is open for the Bruins to go on a deep run.
It's time.
And they will start round two tomorrow night against Columbus. We have thoughts on that. And, of course, we want to get to your calls. 617-779-0985. We'll do that coming up next.
Jobs.com.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Got a little room in the neutral zone, and I just found myself in the slot all of a sudden.
Chari nudges it to Corrali. He'll carry it himself over the line, high slot.
Put it on net, really, and they don't usually go in for me. But
to the far circle, fires, he scores!
I think you can see by the way I reacted how I felt about that goal.
This guy just has a nose for the big games. Sean Corrali raced in, angled to the left circle, and snap one by Freddie Anderson. Bruins 3, Maple Leafs 1.
So if you want to know, just you can watch it again, I think.
We'll talk to Jason Tatum coming up at 10:50 and Brad Stevens at 11:20 today. A lot of Bruins to get to throughout the day, but we will talk a little Celtics with those guys. Saw Brad Stevens at the game last night.
At a water. So I'm screwing that top of that water bottle.
Ready to go, man.
Nice little sweater on.
Jacked and pumped.
Golly jeepers.
I don't know if Jason Tatum was there. I didn't see him in that shot.
I didn't see him in the booth.
But he may have been there. I don't know. We'll talk to him at 10:50. Let's talk to you right now on the phone line, 617-779-0985. Bruins won a game 7, so we'll talk to Blair in Maine. Go ahead, Blair.
Jesus. Hey, so looking ahead, we're so lucky we don't have to play for the Boston Bruins, don't have to play the number one seed of our conference, because they particularly are one of the best teams that we would have to face. So we're so lucky that we get to face the Columbus Blue Jackets, because we can knock them straight out 4-0, because we are Boston Bruins, and we believe that we could do it because we have our potential of playing really good right now.
There it is, potential to play really good right now. Like that.
If there was ever a time for Blair to give us his Tuca.
Today would have been the day.
That was
blew
the day.
That chance.
I was waiting for it.
He blew it. Absolutely blew it, but that's okay.
As I believe he said last time, I don't want to misquote him. I believe he said, Tuca.
Right. They're feeling it in Maine, huh?
Oh, they're feeling it today, baby.
They get above 50 degrees there yet? Doesn't feel like it.
Will is in Marlboro today. Will.
Hello, guys. Was at the game last night with my son. What an atmosphere. Best atmosphere of the whole series, easily. And it was great to see Edelman chugging down a beer on the big screen during the third period, second and third periods. Great environment. I wanted to mention Pastrnak. I think the team as a whole is playing great. You're seeing great push from the third and fourth lines. Obviously, you've talked about Tuukka Rask, played unbelievable last night. But when you look at Pastrnak, he's moved to the second line for a reason. I don't know if he's still injured. You know, he came back from the injury. I don't know if he's full strength, but along the boards, he doesn't win battles. He's not taking the body. He's losing the puck. He's making bad choices coming into the zone, or kind of giving the puck up a little too easy. And I'm concerned for David Pastrnak. I'm not sure if he's healthy. I'm not sure if Berge's healthy. Bergeron last night, you know, he's out there, he's playing good defensive hockey, but you don't see that offensive threat from him. And I'm a little concerned about the team going forward, but great win last night and looking forward to Columbus.
Okay, appreciate the call, Will. I think that Pastrnak did not have a good series, and
he went right to Twitter after the game, though. Like,
he took on Bieber after the game, yeah. And that's what he's making headlines for, yeah. Which is, you know, good for you. But he's got to play better. Simply put,
he's
just
hearing it. Maybe he's feeling it. Maybe he's squeezing it. Like, look how excited he got up in Toronto when sort of he got going early in that game. You know, and he gets two quick ones, and he just seemed elated, and like the world was lifted off his shoulders. I don't know. Maybe he's squeezing it. Maybe he's feeling the pressure a little bit. I mean, that's what everybody's talking about. That first line. When that first line goes, they go. So Bieber.
I think maybe they may tinker with the lines again. You may see him move back up.
Yeah.
That might be what happens, and that might get him going.
Fine with that.
For all the people that have gotten on him, I mean, when guys switch lines, we've been forgiving at times, but the fact is it's the playoffs, and this guy's supposed to be your best goal scorer, most elite goal scorer, the guy with the most skill out there. He just doesn't look like that guy right now.
He's the new Krejci.
Lindsay Methuen. Lynn, what'd you make of last night's win?
Hey, guys, it's so great to call in. Best time of the year. I tell you, last night, that second period, I mean, I almost needed the paddles. That was just, I was just screaming, you're trying to lose the game. It was, the decisions they made in the second period was tough. I agree with that last caller about Pasta. I mean, game two of the series, I mean, he was hitting everything in sight. He was moving his feet, and then he disappeared. So, but I agree with you, Bertrand. I said, put him back up with his mommy and daddy. Just put him back up with Marshy and Bergeron, because I feel he was bringing the play down of Krejci and DeBrusk.
What'd you put on your mantle? What'd you put on your mantle this time? Because you used to decorate your mantle, right, with all the burn stuff?
No, it's all over the TV, and we got the banner outside. My twins are graduating this year, so we're still going crazy. They had their Bruins PJs on. I mean, we don't fool around, though. But I just want to.
So wait a minute. How old are your kids?
Footy pajamas.
My twins are going to be 18 next month.
And they wear pajamas?
I like it. I like your style.
Oh, Jesus. Don't cut me on PJs. Oh, they'll kill me. All right. Sure. You know, the sleep.
Where do you buy adult PJs like that?
No footies. But like I said, hey, how about Coyle stepping up? Let me tell you, and I was trashing him when he first came to town, and he's really stepped up. That depth, we need that to go far. So like I said, and Tuca, absolutely. Won't hear me say another word about the guy. He absolutely won him a game in that second period and other games this series. So again, thanks to the crowd. They were unbelievable last night. And like I said, let's just go. I'm not going to underestimate Columbus, but these guys play their game. They're going all the way, guys. Thanks so much for the time.
All right, Lynn, appreciate it. Yeah, the idea that they're somehow going to just roll over Columbus. Listen, I get it. Columbus, you look at them differently than you would Tampa Bay by a lot. But they don't suck. They just.
Oh, you mean the team that swept Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah.
They're obviously playing well right now. They're obviously playing their best hockey of the year right now.
Not a bad hockey team. Physical.
Columbus.
Okay.
Bruins in five.
Okay.
I almost nailed it last night. Was it bad that it was 4-1? I was rooting for. I was rooting for Columbus. I was rooting for Toronto to score to make it 4-2. Full well knowing they were still going to pull Anderson. And then we'd get an empty netter and make it 5-2. And I would have called it. And I would have been insufferable today.
No.
Did you guys see Columbus? Okay. They had a scrimmage because they've had so much time off.
What'd they do?
Over 5,000 fans.
Yeah.
Oh, my scrimmage. God.
They're ready. This is, you know what they remind me of? Remember when the lightning popped? Back in the day, and they had that little lightning bolt, and the fans were like, it was a revival. All of a sudden, we got a team. We're excited.
I don't know. I feel like Columbus is a more hardcore sports town than that.
It's a hardcore sports town, no doubt about it.
They got definitely an Ohio State town.
Yeah. So
they got real hockey fans there.
It is.
Don't they have like the best
back,
like
Marty.
Soccer crowd, too, of all? Like, doesn't Columbus have a huge MLS like crowd, too?
No,
I think
idea.
They go nuts for all that stuff.
The Columbus crew. Yes, they do, Jim. Let me tell you something. Columbus. Sneaky good town.
Really? You think so?
I was there for a wedding two summers ago, I think.
Yes.
Nice town.
Yes.
Good time.
They got a little edge too. Didn't their like sports radio people like push Kirk Herbstreit to leave Columbus and move to Nashville?
Yes.
I think he was getting so much criticism that he got pushed. He just likes, you know, I'm not dealing with this. I'm going to Nashville.
Something would have happened with his house, too.
The guy
right?
that went to like Ohio burned. State.
Yeah.
Something happened to his house?
I thought his house burned. Like, something. There's, I can't
they burned his house thing. Down? Yeah, that sounds like a well-adjusted place.
Well, sports town. They take care of people. You want people, you run them out of town.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. That's normal.
I have a feeling, Hardy, it's going to be sneaky hateable after this series.
I do, too. It's good.
The one time I went to Columbus, I drove from Cincinnati. It was in Cincinnati and then in Columbus. And there's a lot of God's country between Cincinnati and Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of weird stuff on a road with nothing on it between Cincinnati
and
Columbus.
It's like Connecticut.
Yeah. No. Nope.
Weirder.
Not like Connecticut at all.
I had to drive from Columbus to Boston. One of those late summer hurricanes years ago where they canceled all flights up and down the East Coast. And everybody had to get home from Columbus. There were a bunch of us there, and we had made that drive across. Yeah, there's big stretches of nothing.
Yeah, and then my buddy said, you know, have you noticed the billboards every 5 miles telling you that you're going to burn in hell?
Well,
I said, yeah, that is a little odd, isn't it? A little strange.
I'll tell you something about Columbus.
What?
You would not necessarily expect it. Very, very open community. A lot of gay people who have moved there and lived there, and alternative lifestyles, for lack of a better word. Let me tell you something. You know what that means? Phenomenal restaurants, great little markets, all kinds of shops
Neat.
And stuff.
No litter. Big hipster community too, Hardy. I'm just reading about.
Yep.
I'm
fancy burgers. They're the ones that stuff cheese between the meat in their burgers.
I'm telling you.
Tomorrow we're gonna need to do the whole Columbus. Like
we're gonna
explore Columbus tomorrow.
I was not looking forward to that wedding that we went to.
We ain't
forward
to Cleveland.
That
should be their motto.
There were like six of us that all flew together from Boston to go to this wedding.
It was a hoity-toity wedding, right?
You told
me about that. I
yes,
remember that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But let me tell you something. That's a good town.
Yep.
That's good times.
Hang on, Sloopy. It's like their big song out there, too.
617.
Well, there's a lot of culture here.
We're not
Cleveland. It ain't Cleveland. It ain't
we're not
Philadelphia.
Cleveland.
No, it's Philadelphia.
Jim's in Boston. Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
If Rask plays the way he did last night throughout the rest of the series, they're going to win that cup, no question about it. And another point I want to make out, in my opinion, other than Rask, the players, three players who really played the best last night were Charlie Coyle, Brandon Carlo, and Bergeron. Bergeron shut down Tavares all night. He played great defensively. He didn't show up on the scoreboard, but defensively, he played excellent.
Yeah, he was good on faceoffs, especially early. I would also say Carlo is worth mentioning. That's a credit. When you talk about the young guys on the roster and guys that they've had work out, Carlo is one of them, because I know a lot has been talked about with Toronto and their future and their team and their direction and the youth that they have. Carlo's one of those young, good players that the Bruins have. And last night in a big spot, big game, he played well. And they needed him. 617-779-0985. Why don't we get to more on Tuukka Rask? His head coach, Bruce Cassidy, had some very nice things to say about him last night. We'll get to that.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody.
Tuukka, 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 Tuukka.
Ooga, ooga, chaka, ooga, 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 chaka.
Tuukka, 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 Tuukka.
I can't stop this feeling.
Now centered by Rask. A stop by Matthews, point blank.
Marner shoots.
Rask the save, rebound. Rask able to stop the return from Mitch Marner, who's denied.
Marner over the line near side. Goes rink wide. Centered out in front. Hyman the step on Rask.
He drove it at the near post. Rask slid across, made the save.
Tuukka, 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 Tuukka.
Tuukka had himself a night.
Sure did.
Big part of the Bruins win.
You ever see Jim Plunkett, the one-man band?
Of course.
This is one
He's
of the
still
main...
doing it, man.
Oh, he is. And this is one of his go-tos, man. About half hour into the show, this gets everybody going.
Yeah. I told you I talked to him.
I know. You're trying to get him to do your party,
I know.
Right?
I know. What was that? God, it may have been even a year ago.
He was.
He's still doing well. He's still at it.
He was up at the scoreboard when we were doing one of the shows up there.
All over the place.
Playing that night.
Still doing the improper down the Love Cape on Saturdays in the summertime. All that stuff.
Is it bad for a 51-year-old man to walk into the improper like that? All the kids are in there having fun.
You want to go?
Wait, I did.
Some Saturday?
Well, Max Lane comes down once a year, and my brother-in-law goes, a couple other guys.
What's the date?
Our boy Jeff and Quincy. Jeff Sullivan.
He's going to be there?
He's sort of the ringleader of it all. He gets on stage and sings.
Well, I'd like an invite if you don't mind.
If you would go?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hell of a trip. I mean, the problem is coming back.
Have you gone every year?
I've gone, and it ended badly one year, and I haven't gone back, I'm afraid.
Oh. Let's go.
Sometimes they don't make it home.
That's okay. No, we'll get home eventually.
It's not okay. Yeah, we will get home eventually. We should take Hardy. You could drive.
Yeah. Hardy doesn't. That'd be a good time. Hardy doesn't actually like us. He just sort of tolerates us.
You like alcohol spilt all over your shoes and feet?
He just kind of tolerates us.
You like when they run out of plastic cups and they're rinsing them out to give them more?
I like you sober.
Yeah.
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 So.
But you're never really with me. I'm drunk.
That's right, because he walks away.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Tuukka Rask was great last night. We all know that. And his coach, Bruce Cassidy, was asked about it. There was a little bit of a back and forth, some questions from Tara Sullivan of the Globe talking to Bruce Cassidy after the game. If you missed it, here it is.
Bruce, you mentioned the second period in particular, and you talked about Tuukka. How much in the second period did you feel like he kept you in the game, or if that's overstating things?
No, that's not overstating. I think that's accurate.
And then just overall, have you ever sort of figured out kind of the real love-hate relationships it seems fans have for him, and do you think after a game like tonight?
Well, he's hopefully converted a few. I think in sports you have that a lot. I'm a sports fan, other sports, and you know I have it with certain players on teams I root for. And for me, the time I've known him, he's been a very competitive man, excellent goaltender. We saw it tonight. And hopefully he can start or continue to build on his playoff legacy. It's a big game 7 win. And like I said, I believe he was our best player. And in the second period, we broke down. We had a tough time moving the puck out of our zone. He was there for us. Now, we end up scoring some goals for him, right? So that's how our team's done it all year. We play for one another. We tend to pick each other up. So he picked us up in the second when we were down. We got him a couple goals in the first so he could relax probably a little bit. But he made the stops he needed to and more. So I hope the fans recognize what he did tonight. I think you have to, as a fan, acknowledge when a player plays well. I know in this town, when you don't, you hear about it. That's fine, too. But tonight he played well, and hopefully the people get behind him and acknowledge that.
Hopefully the people get behind him and acknowledge that. That's going above and beyond just saying that your guy played well. Now, Bruce, I know that he was asked about, you know, the way that he's played, and I know that when you're talking about this goaltender, he's always been questioned, right?
Yeah.
By everybody.
Cassidy understands. He said at the beginning, I'm a sports fan. I get it. He's saying basically, I would be pissed too if I were the fans.
You should, yeah. And I thought it would have been a great follow-up by her to say, well, who are the teams you root for? Which players bug you and which ones do you hate? What's the love-hate player that is fresh on your mind? I mean, I get it with this guy. The price tag puts him in that category, right? Yeah, he's pretty much directly responsible. He's like a starting pitcher, your front ace. If that guy blows up, guy's going to get crushed.
All that praise that he gave him.
Look at Chrisell. Now you look at Chrisell now. You know?
All that praise makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable because he has been so good
at
pushing Tuukka Rask's buttons all year long.
He should have poo-pooed it.
And maybe he's got to mix this in every now and again so that when he does criticize him to get him going, it carries weight and it's not falling on deaf ears. Because the player knows that he can both criticize and praise him.
You know what? It's a softer, more polished version of Bill Parcells' like reaction to things. And Parcells was so good at pushing buttons, and he'd hang out.
That's glowing, man.
And he knew how to do it. But, man, when you played well, he'd give you a little pat on the ass, but he wouldn't be so open about it. Cassidy, a little more open about it. Wish he would have poo-pooed it. Yeah, you know, we expect that from Tuukka all the time.
He didn't give him the whole game, though. He gave him the second period, and he said, then we scored goals. He's like, so he picked us up, and then we picked him up. Kind of like a back and forth. He didn't quite go all the way, but Tuukka stole the game. He didn't go there.
All right.
He still took a little bit away from him there. He didn't give it all to him.
Does he sound like a guy who'd be willing to pull Tuukka Rask for Halak if Rask falls apart at any point?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, you bet. It's elimination. Yes. If he was the other guy giving up and he were down,
I shouldn't say fall apart. Fall apart, it's easy. When he starts to slide, let's not say fall apart.
That's better. That's better. Yeah. Yeah, no, fall apart, not to slide. No.
Yeah.
Unless you just don't have it that night. You don't. You see it. Like,
yeah, but that's
Tuca
falling
said.
Apart. I mean, that's an easy one. That's an easy call.
You're at Rask here, too, in the headlines, sub-headlines there. Health. I feel healthy. I'm rested, you know, pretty well balanced at the end. There's no groin issue.
Well, get ready. You got another game coming up.
No kidding.
Tomorrow night. Get ready.
That.
Get home. Get your sleep.
Hey, keep that garden on ice chill, right? I guess it was freezing there last night, people said.
Was it?
Capello said it was like 20 degrees colder.
I thought we were told it didn't make a difference. It's all about 18,
I guess,
right? 18's the number?
Supposedly, I heard from a lot of people that did Jaffe say it was cold? Was he on site? No.
He was.
Somebody, I heard it too last night.
Fred,
somebody said it.
Beers was on the pregame with Felger and Mass.
Last night during the game, it said it was freezing in that building last night.
They said people wore shorts yesterday. You were in a bad spot. It was cold.
Good.
Mary was there. She was cold.
Cold.
Yeah.
Good.
Highfalutin suite upstairs.
We stacked our suite with Patriots players, and then Murray last night. Huh?
Yeah.
It's like Patrick Chung, David Andrews. Who else was in there?
God.
And Murray biting his fingernails in the corner.
Murray.
JT was in there.
JT.
Yeah.
All our favorites.
Yeah.
David Andrews wearing his
high five
Bruins jersey.
Oh, Felger was there too.
Felger was in there.
Felger. Nice.
Wow.
Boy, how many extra
napkins? Nobody tapped the windows across the street, by the way. So what happened there last night?
How many extra napkins did they have to order from catering to cover Felger up last
legs.
Night in the cold?
Right. Just a couple. But I mean, And I understand it. You didn't go get, and Felger called me out, said make sure they get the glass. Well, I think he was daring us because he hires help now.
So there's police officers.
There's police officers there, but this is the first.
So that's like taunting.
But
he's taunting you.
We've been there. Yeah, we've been there, and I think fans have reacted. And they've responded on Twitter. You put it out there. I put it out there. It's only round one. We will get them in the cup.
We will get them in the cup.
And I think
them.
The cops will understand. Can't hold everybody back.
Yeah, let it go.
Hey, here's a 20. Here's a donut. You know, come on.
So trying to bribe him with a donut is not the way we get this done, my friend.
I love these guys. They're good, though. They know what the deal is. Mm. Just let them break the glass once.
Well, Mike in Cambridge on Columbus. Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey.
Yeah, good. Long time. First time. So I heard my wife and all my in-laws live in Columbus. I heard you guys talking about, thought I'd throw my 2 cents in. And Hottie kind of hit it right on the head.
Hottie.
Where it is a diverse kind of city. You get a lot of different people, a lot of great food. Then on the other hand, you also get terrible food. Like, they know nothing about roast beef. And
we talk.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know about you, but I can go like a 3-day weekend without roast beef.
Yeah.
You know, so that's it.
That makes no sense because like Cleveland, Cincinnati, they all have different. It's sort of
Cincinnati's
Slovakian background.
Chili.
Like, I'm a Pittsburgh guy. Like, you know how to cook beef. You know how to cook roast beef. I would assume Ohio knows how to cook roast beef. It's sort of Slovakian. You know, it's you know what to do.
No, I don't know. Is that the deal?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Beetle. Get your head out of your ass. Yes. Roast beef is Slovakian.
You gotta
Columbus.
Leave Quincy.
Why are you not following this?
I don't know. I don't know why I'm not following
that. It's a cheap meat. You throw in a pot, you put everything in, and it just breaks down. And it's,
cheap meat,
it's
Slovakian,
so
Columbus. Yeah. Hello.
Ethnic.
We're going to be talking
to city.
Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. That is coming up next.
Miss something?
You got to wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Bounce pass. Knocked away by Kyrie. He saves it from going out of bounds. Morris lead for Horford. Hand to Jason Tatum. Two-hand slam. And the Celtics are running away and hiding here in game four.
Boom, yeah. Boom, yeah, boom, yeah, boom, yeah.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand, 1051. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in a member of the Boston Celtics. It's Jason Tatum joining us. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, you should be well-rested. Were you at the Bruins game last night with the rest of the team and coach?
No, I stayed back. I watched it on TV.
Do you like this long layoff that you guys have right now, or do you want to get right back out there and keep going?
I'm kind of in between. A couple guys banged up a little bit. It was a tough game against Indiana. So we definitely could give us some more time for Smart to get back healthy. But, I'm excited to play at the same time.
How much did you learn from the end of last year in, as far as being a rookie player and cranking it up during the regular season and taking it to that next level in the playoffs to where it seems like you are and the rest of your team have flipped that switch? How much did the end of last year teach you and get you ready for what you're getting ready for now?
It taught me a lot. Experience is the best teacher. Going to the playoffs my first year, everybody talked about how much different it's going to be. How much the intensity changes and how much more physical the game is going to be. So I didn't know what to expect. After the long run we had last year in the playoffs, coming back this year, I knew what to expect. I knew what I was going to be, and I was just super excited because I know it's at stake. We all had that feeling last year of losing Game 7 and being so close to the championship.
It's windy outside, huh?
Yeah, it is.
You mentioned Marcus Smart. You mentioned that the more time off, the better, and maybe he's getting closer. Did you guys happen to notice him on that treadmill upstairs the other day? Because everybody else seemed to notice it.
Yeah, we definitely see him in there every day. Rehabbing, working his butt off to get back with the team, and we can't wait to have him.
Hey, Jason, you obviously had Coach K for 1 year. You have Brad now for two. Which one's tougher to play for?
Tougher to play for?
I mean, they are different, right?
Yeah, they are different. I think from the aspect that, in college, when you're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-olds, you have to teach a lot, teach more because in the NBA, there's a wide range of age groups on the team. From last year I was 19, oldest guy was probably like 32. Coach K yells a lot more. He's more animated. Brad a lot more laid back. He doesn't yell and cuss as much. That's the biggest difference.
Jason, these days in the NBA, we hear so much about players and shoe deals and what they've got going on. And I saw in the last couple of days that you've got a shoe that's coming out from Nike. What does that mean to be able to have your own shoe in the NBA these days? Is that something that every player would like to have?
Yeah, it's a dream come true for me. I had so many dreams when I was a kid. So many guys I want to be like, so many things I want to accomplish. And this is a start. Having my own shoe. It's a Nike Air Max shoe. I was a big part in, help designing and making what it was going to look like. And, just to see everything, unfold and happen in front of me is just, everything I could have wished for, as a kid. And, all my dreams are kind of starting to come true.
So there's a lot of red in this shoe. Is that for your hometown? Is that what that's about?
Yeah. It has a lot of detail in it, red and, it really is a tribute to, back home, St. Louis, where I'm from. So, I kind of wanted to give them a shout out, with my first, kind of shoe.
How different is it having Kyrie? Obviously, you spent a lot of time with him, especially with the All-Star weekend and, what he's been, but you didn't have him last year in the playoffs. And he's talked so much about, I can't wait for the playoffs to start. That's what I came here for. What have you learned from him, as these playoffs get going here for you guys?
I really watch, he's somebody I look up to, somebody that I admire and, I want to be that level of player, one day, and just how he embraces the big moments, night in and night out, great performances. And he just, he's a great leader. He knows what it takes. Obviously he won a championship, a great 3-1 comeback, down 3-1. And so, he knows what it takes, just follow his lead and, watching him out there, it really raises my level of play, to keep up.
Talking with Jason Tatum, he's got a basketball camp coming up that we're going to give you the details on. As we talk about the playoffs in this time of year, you've worked out with Kobe Bryant, who obviously has a lot of experience playing at this time of year. Is there anything that he's offered you about playing in the playoffs and the grind of a long playoff run?
Yeah, yeah, I got a chance to work out with him and talk to him last year. And last summer. And we talked about a lot of things. And he gave me a lot of things to work on, a lot of good advice that, you know, he wished he would have had when he was younger. And, you know, the biggest thing that he, you know, kept reminding me was, it doesn't matter, you know, how young I am. But don't let anybody bring up my age when I do well or do bad. I was built for this. And, you know, don't take a back seat. You know, just be who I'm supposed to be.
Is this team right now, as it's constituted, as close to what you guys envisioned it being, you know, going back to last year, you know, when Gordon had obviously the injury he had and how you guys had to get past that and you lose Kyrie, but it seems like, you know, even Hayward and the way he's coming around, this is as close to what you guys envisioned as, you know, rolling into the playoffs and the way you're playing?
Yeah, it's starting to seem that way. Obviously, we're not playing perfect right now. It's a lot of things that we still need to work on, especially going into this next series. But, we've definitely been, gelling a lot better recently. And, it's all at the right time. This is the best time of the year. This is when you're supposed to be clicking on all cylinders. And hopefully we continue to keep this going.
Hey, Jason, we're going to talk to Brad in about 20 minutes on the show. Is there anything that you'd like for us to ask him when he comes on?
Who's his favorite youngest player to coach?
Ooh.
We will put it to him exactly like that.
Well, we can dress it up a little bit. Like, out of the young guys, who's been the most – do you want favorite, or should we phrase it like, who's the most fun to coach?
Or most coachable. Most coachable.
Make sure you say youngest, because I'm the youngest, so he has to pick me.
We can just ask him, who's the youngest player you're coaching right now, and settle it that way. Not much of a compliment.
All right, so the Jason Tatum Basketball Clinic, brought to you by City, is happening June 29th and June 30th at Boston University. It's open to boys and girls grades 1 through 12 over the course of those 2 days. Have you done this before, or is this going to be the first time?
No, I did. I did two camps last year, one in Boston and one in St. Louis. The one in Boston was my first camp. It was me and Kyrie, so... obviously, he's done a lot of camps before, so we kind of did one together to, kind of help, walk me through it and, show me how it goes and, what to expect. And now this year, it's fully all my camp, and I had a blast last year. We had a bunch of kids come, and they had a great time, and we got to play knockout and one-on-one with them and answer Q&A questions. So I can't wait, to do that again this summer.
All right, so it's happening again the end of June. If you want to register for this camp, the City Jason Tatum Basketball Clinic happening at Boston University, it's procamps.com/Jason Tatum Boss. Jason Tatum BOS, procamps.com/Jason Tatum BOS. That's where you go. Jason, appreciate the time. Good luck in the second round.
Thank you.
All right, see you, Jason. Good luck.
Jason Tatum on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. 90 seconds, no commercials here.
Should that be Zoe's first question to Brad Stevens?
Who's the youngest guy on your team?
You want to practice it?
Nope. Yeah, I should practice.
All right. Joining us now, Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Coach, how you doing? You got a lot of young players. You let him answer first. Go ahead, try it again.
Brad Stevens with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, great, Coach. See you throwing him back last night at the Bruins game. One of your youngest players wasn't there. Is he your favorite player to coach?
Something like that.
What? We'll nail it by then.
Oh, yeah. Hardy has headlines. We're right back. No commercials. They're very sad in Toronto today. We will touch on that next.